Hello, Honey Ridge family, and any other listeners who may be tuned into this daily devotion. Today I'd like us to consider a passage written by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll be looking at verses 5 through 11. So let's turn there. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Now, to give this passage some context, since we're not starting at verse 1, Peter is instructing the elders among his audience on how to be good shepherds to the people under their care. We read in verses 1 to 4 of the sound biblical principles which he gives on how to achieve this. In these verses, the central theme of Peter is that of servanthood and humility. In verse 5, he turns his attention to speaking to the young people, encouraging them to submit themselves to the elders. Peter then addresses his further comments to the entire audience of his letter, and I'd like to take a closer look at some of the biblical instruction which he gives them, advice which we should find helpful as well. I'd like you to notice the following. Firstly, Peter calls on everyone in verse 5 to put on humility. Verse 5 says, "All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." Now, in writing about humility, Peter would have been painfully reminded of his own experience with Jesus, after he had denied him 3 times before the crucifixion. After the crucifixion, Peter was graciously and humbly forgiven by Christ and restored to him. So what does the humility which Peter speaks of look like? Well, I'd like to suggest that it involves the following. It means the willingness to perform the lowest and the littlest services for Jesus' sake. It means being aware of our own inability to do anything apart from God. It also suggests not self-hating, but rather self-forgetfulness. It requires being truly others-centered instead of being self-centered. And then it entails a willingness to be ignored by other people and what they may think of us. So when you think about these characteristics of humility, how do you measure up to this? If you were to look at your life critically, can you say that you demonstrate these qualities of humility in your life? But secondly, notice that Peter calls on us to put off anxiety. Verse 7 says, "Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." Now, in saying this, Peter uses an interesting verb. Casting is a rather energetic word. Notice Peter doesn't say, "Lay all your cares on him," because we have to do it more energetically than that. The idea here is to throw away from you. And this is so because the pressures and the burdens of your life can sometimes be so overwhelming and can be so heavy and difficult that it takes great concentration of effort to put them on Jesus. Think of a fisherman casting the line from his rod into the sea. It's an energetic action that requires practice and concentration. I want you to notice, though, that it also requires concentration because there are some anxieties that we cannot cast on God if they are ungodly anxieties. For example, I am worried that I don't have enough money or that I will never be rich. Or I am worried that I am not famous or even popular. Or how about I anguish that I cannot get revenge on those who have wronged me? You see, these are ungodly anxieties, and it would be foolish to think that we could cast them on Christ. Now, once we follow Peter's instruction in verse 5 and 6 to clothe ourselves in humility, then we will have fewer worries to cast upon Christ. So stop for a moment and ask yourself this. Are you not letting go and holding on to anxieties and worries which God has invited you to cast on Him? Or are there some worries and anxieties that you have attempted to lay at Christ's feet when you know that these worries are not godly and don't belong in your life in the first place? Worries about covetousness, popularity, ambition, or riches. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon says about this. He says the following: all cares of covetousness, anger, pride, ambition, and willfulness must be cast to the winds. It would be criminal to dream of casting them upon God. Do not pray about them, except that God will redeem you from them. Let your desires be kept within a narrow circle, and your anxieties will be lessened at a stroke. Wise words indeed. Thirdly, Peter calls on us to put on alertness and resistance. In verse 8 and verse 9, we read, firstly in verse 8, be alert and of sober mind, and then in verse 9, resist him, standing firm in the faith. We are called to be alert. Again, this would have been a subject matter Peter was painfully aware of when he remembered how he and two disciples fell asleep three times in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus needed them the most. Having put on humility and put off anxiety, we can't just sit back and do nothing. Our attention needs to be focused on the evil works of the devil and how he would seek to trip us up. And yes, although we must recognize that this battle is a spiritual battle, we have our part to play as well. I found an interesting quote by General Cromwell from the First World War, and it was advice that he was giving to his troops as they were about to engage in battle. And I think it's advice which we will find helpful as well. It was simple advice. He said to his men, trust in God and keep your powder dry. Now, in resisting the devil and standing firm, it's very interesting that the Bible tells us to flee from various evils, but nowhere does it advise us to flee from the devil. You see, that would be a futile effort. But notice that we don't need to engage the enemy. Rather, we are called simply to stand firm. We stand firm by putting on humility, putting off anxiety, and then casting our cares on Him to fight for us. So what is God's promise to us? Well, in verse 10 we read, after you have suffered a little while, He will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Now, in reading this, we almost want to ask Peter, why did you say that? Why the suffering? But you know, folks, the truth remains. We are only called to His eternal glory after having suffered a while. We wish we were called to His eternal glory on the no suffering plan. But God uses suffering to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us so that we can be fully restored in Him. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Now, just before we close, I found a poem entitled Until I Learned, which just in its simple ways communicates the thoughts that I've been speaking about in this devotion. Why don't you listen to it? Until I learned to trust, I never learned to pray. I never learned to fully trust till sorrow came my way. Until I felt my weakness, His strength I never knew, nor dreamed till I was stricken that He would see me through. Who deepest drinks of sorrow, drinks deepest too of grace. He sends the storm so He Himself can be our hiding place. His heart that seeks our highest good knows well when things annoy. We would not long for heaven if earth held only joy. Bronwyn's going to close off in prayer for us.
Father God, we come before you having nothing to offer you, for all our good works are like filthy rags in your sight. It is only because of your grace and mercy alone that we can come before you, acknowledging our humble dependence on you, our great God, for who is like you, glorious in holiness and awesome in splendor. Thank you, Lord, that your word invites us to come to you, all of us who are weary and heavy with burdens, because your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Forgive us, Lord, when we think we can do it all on our own. Thank you that we can stand firm in the grace you give us, because not only is the battle yours, but so also is the victory. Help us, Lord, to know how to serve one another in love during these times, and show us what it means to truly put others first. For this is how you lived your life, as a perfect example for us. Please help us, we pray. We ask all of this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.